Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pittsburgh Steelers fans, it is time once again for another edition of the post-game show. No, do not adjust your dials. Yes, this show got 100% more handsome. It's both myself, Michael Beck, and Kyle Kreiss joining Dave Schofield, hanging out in the post-game chat here with all of you. Steelers were successful. Kyle, I'll ask you first. How does it feel after that kind of messy end, but the Steelers are still victorious? How do you feel with this game?
Oh man, it's like, is this the most fired up you've ever been for a 3-3 team? I feel like I feel like we're in the playoffs now. You know, I'm like fired up about this win.
Yeah, no, you know what? Watching it go through, there's some good feelings there. But Dave, what were your thoughts on how the Steelers won this one?
Oh, they were. It was a wonderful roller coaster of emotions. I mean, 14-0 at halftime, you're feeling great, and then all of a sudden, you're like. Is it just weird they just run in the same spot every time and the Steelers can't stop it? It almost seemed like they were just trying to find Cam Hayward and saying, let's go the other way. Don't know if that's exactly it or not. I'd have to check the tape. But all I know is that I was just always in the back of my mind. I'm like, are the Steelers going to get that turnover that loses this game for them? Are they going to turn the ball over or something that loses the game for them? But no, they got the takeaway to win the game for them. It was nice to have that be, you know, to be on that side of it this time. It was fantastic. I don't care that it's after midnight here on the East Coast. While I'm the only East Coaster willing to come on and do the late night with you West Coast guys, let's do this. I'm excited. I'm pumped.
Yeah, the heart rate's gonna have to come down a couple levels to be able to sleep tonight. But
yeah,
speaking of that turnover, I thought when Ben Roethlisberger that challenge fumble, that ball going forward, I thought that might have been the play of the game. But after that moment, the Steelers defense completely turned it around from an abysmal third quarter. For whatever reason, that negative play on offense flipped that switch, and they played great again. So, Kyle, I'm curious your thoughts. After watching the defense struggle so much to just completely turn around after that play, what does that one mean to you?
I mean, you know, I don't even think we had a third down on defense in that third quarter. So it was just felt like nothing could go our way. But then, yeah, I mean, we gave up the field goal. But after that, I think it was 2-3 and outs. Of course, yep. The field goal to tie it at the end. But OT was two great defensive stands. So I don't, you know, it's hard. It's almost like James Pierce play last week. It's like, can 80% of a game or can one play make up for, you know, 80% or half of a game? And I think the answer has got to be, you know, yes, we won in the end.
So we got this super chat here from Jeremy Smith. It ties in pretty well. He puts $4.99 in the tip jar. He says, Alex Collins will never cease to give me nightmares. Galvanizing win for us tonight. Dave, now, yeah, Collins had one heck of a game. Did you see something? Were the Seahawks targeting one specific player? It seemed like they're going at one spot over and over.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I put it out there. I'm like, it's everything they were doing was running to the right. That whole first drive of the second half, all they did was run to their right side. Not outside. I mean, basically, I felt like it was going right at the right tackle. I don't know if you felt that or not, Michael, also being an O-line guy. I just felt like they were saying, we found someone we're going to run behind. We're not going to let TJ Watt, you know, track us down. We'd rather go straight at him. And the person they didn't want to go straight at was Cam Hayward. So it's just they found some magic. And I mean, I've seen it before. Sometimes you can just get something that works and say, we're just going to do it until they stop it. So they kind of didn't. They took the ball out of Geno Smith's hands and saying, you don't have to win us this game. We're going to keep doing this. And it got them all the way back in it. It got them back in and all the way tied up on two different occasions. So, I mean, the Seattle fought They really did. I was really impressed with how they played in the second half. Of course, I was also disappointed with the Steelers and their lack of tackling. But at the same time, that was just as much as it was that the Steelers didn't play as well in the second half, it was that the Seattle Seahawks really did come out and play well in that second half, which was almost a recipe for disaster for the Steelers.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I do see a ton of super chats in the comments here. We'll try to get to each and every one of those, of course, on a polarizing game like tonight's. But on Dave's point there, it seemed like they were targeting Isaiah Bugs or Henry Mondo, whoever that tackle was beside T.J. Watt. They seemed to try to run at him and just try to take advantage of T.J. Watt's aggressiveness coming upfield. That seemed to be the spot, that bubble that they kind of adjusted for at halftime, and they found some success in. But with that, with T.J. Watt's running mate and Monster 19 puts $4.99 in the chip jar, he says, my boy Highsmith's finally getting a sack lunch, nom nom. Kyle, Alex Highsmith, sack and a half. What did you think out of him and his efforts tonight?
But, I'll admit I was, you know, thinking that 56 has been kind of invisible for the past month. But, he was, I don't know if we finally got, 8, 56, and 90 all together, a whole full week of practice, and that mattered. But it felt like the pass rush, besides that third quarter where everything kind of just became invisible, the pass rush was what we expected, the week one pass rush that we saw.
Yeah, no, that was probably the best, as you said, that we've seen out of that group since week one. Melvin Ingram not really getting into the party, but the other two definitely more than made up for it. Let's get to another super chat here from Wilson Pava, who puts $4.99 in the tip jar. Says, good win despite awful third quarter and awful tackling. Press can punt the heck out of the ball a whole lot better than Jordan Berry did today. Of course, he had a punt blocked for a touchdown in the Vikings game. Feeling you on the time, Dave. It's definitely a lame one.
12:34 a.m. right now for anyone that's keeping track.
So just a general question for you on this one, then, Dave. The later games, is it harder to be a fan on the East Coast when these games are going to overtime? There's work coming up on Monday morning. What's that kind of like for a Western group here?
Honestly, it's worrying about how bad tomorrow's going to suck, because even if I wasn't here right now, I wouldn't be able to calm down to go to sleep before 3 a.m. So I might as well at least be here and then writing articles. I hope I can still function to get those done. But I have a feeling even when it's all said and done, I'll go to lay down. I'm still not going to fall asleep because – but it's the anticipation of that's what's going to happen. Like, I'm sorry, those 1 o'clock games today were clunkers. I actually fell asleep during those, and I was happy to get the nap in. So I'm ready to go. I mean, I don't know. I could just sit here and talk about 1,000 different things from this game right now.
You got to move out to the West Coast. There's nothing better than setting your alarm for 9:30 a.m., checking your fantasy lineup, and then you're good to go, you know?
Well, I don't know. You didn't get up and watch that. I mean, I'm sorry, but the 9:30 a.m. Eastern time game was actually better than all the 1 o'clock games. But anyway, I digress. Go ahead.
Yeah. Now, getting back to this, well, I guess I should say I also been struggling to sleep a little bit with my team winning a first game of the year over in Montana flying in. So, but yeah, this might be the second night in a row with no sleep. But getting into the Steelers game itself, and Eric Askew puts $5 in the tip jar, brings up the ref stunk. And while Jeff isn't here, I wish Nickelodeon was there to slime Boswell and TJ for their infamous gaffe. Now the refs, well, really, I guess we should point to Mike Tomlin first. He was not happy with the refs. He was hot on the field. He was hot in the press conference. Kyle, I'll ask you first. Do you like seeing Coach Tomlin so passionate about something? He's usually a guy that's pretty stoic. In this instant, he was fired up.
Yeah. I wish I could have read lips, because when you see him that fired, like when we came into the press conference on Tuesday at 1-3, he was smiles and couldn't be cooler. So when you see him fired up, you think it's something important. Although, I'm never one to defend the refs. I think, even if they didn't at the end there, even if they didn't say the clock stopped at 3 seconds, I think Geno still would have got the spike down before the clock hit zero.
Okay, now, Dave, with this last play, were you happy with how it all played out?
You mean in regulation?
Regulation.
Yeah, yeah, because the last play of overtime, yeah, I'm still flying high off that one. Yeah. I'm just glad that it wasn't the talking point because it screwed up how things should have played out. Exactly what Kyle was saying. You know, they got the spike off with 1 second left, you know, maybe two if they wouldn't have stopped the game. But there was no reason to interject into the game there. And the reason I would be upset if I was Mike Tomlin is that play wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. There was nothing to review. And it's almost like they got buzzed in to stop the clock for the Seahawks just in case. That's what I would have the problem with. Now, the Seahawks they did a really good job of getting over there and spiking the ball. So I'm glad that it didn't. I wouldn't have, honestly, although, you know, a win is a win, I wouldn't have felt as good with if the Steelers would have ended up winning the game on something that completely was screwed up by with the officials in that aspect. So, if you know what I'm saying? So, I feel like it was done wrong, but it still ended up with the same result.
I think the worst missed call might have been when TJ got that kind of was like a personal foul. You know, he got mm-hmm. helmeted. He got a head first hit, and they missed that. That led to them tying it up. Then, or, you know, so I think that's the bigger missed call.
Now, thankfully, the Steelers won this game. If they had lost this game, that final sequence in the regulation would be picked on, especially because there's a bye week for the next 2 weeks straight. So, thankfully, I think we dodged a bullet with that one. Getting back to the super chats here, Wilson Pava puts $4.99 in the tip jar. He said, "Here's my tip for the defensive half. Unlike Dave, I'm dead and I have to teach at 7 a.m. Keep up the great work, BTSC. Y'all truly do great work. Thank you for that, Wilson. It's much appreciated. And I know we love doing this for all of you. Now, Snowman also puts $5 in the tip jar. He says, "I have my heart transplant scheduled for tomorrow. Wow, can't take many more games like those." I don't know if you're being serious, but
Snowman
said that. If you're actually having a heart transplant, then our prayers are with you.
Wow.
If that was just from the game, I can feel you to a degree. But let's throw another comment. I think we'll all be thinking about you. So let us know your status on that one. But
wow.
So Kyle, just getting the game itself here, of course, TJ Watt, I don't know if we quite talked about him enough. His stat line features 7 tackles, 3 TFLs, 2 sacks, at least 1 fumble, maybe 2. I don't know how that's going to get listed. A few batted passes. Was this kind of the defensive player coming out party of the year for TJ Watt? Cause this was a ridiculous game in primetime.
Certainly this season, you know, we've been waiting for a game like this. I think that I hate to say this is kind of the expected performance, you know, week in and week out from someone like TJ, but the last couple weeks he's been, you know, he had a 2 sack game or whatever last week. It might've been the 2 weakest sacks ever, but this is kind of what we expect week in and week out. And it's just been close. It's been close. You know, last week, I think he was coming, you know, I don't know, you know, these things more than me, but it felt like he was taking a wider route maybe last week. Or not, but obviously he got there this week.
Yeah, no, he got home. So Dave, I guess my question to you is TJ Watt underpaid or are we getting the value out of his contract?
Let's just say this. TJ Watt had a great game. Would we be saying he had as much of a great game if, let's say, Seattle misses that kick to set it to overtime? Because what made TJ Watt, I mean, he had a great game anyway, but when you step up and do what you did in overtime, that just sent it through the roof. And that's the key. When you need a play, when you need one play from somebody and he's coming up and making those plays, the Steelers Nation knows what they're getting from TJ Watt.
What is he at, 8 sacks now in the year, I think?
That is a great question.
Yeah, as Dave looks that up, I'll pull up this super chat from Gabriel Golden, who puts $5 in the tip jar. They say, "Just got back to my hotel room from the game. I blame overtime on whoever decided to wait to play Renegade till the start of overtime."
Big mistake.
Hey, you know what? It seemed like Kyle, I'll throw this to you while Dave's looking up the stat. Now, it seemed like overtime, Renegade has not been working throughout the early part of the season. Now 2 weeks in a row, the Steelers going to come up clutch. Are you still on board with the Steelers' famous fight song?
Yeah, I'm all aboard Renegade. We saw it last week. It should have been for the drive that led to the field goal tie tonight. But, you know, hey, maybe the people in the booth know more than we do. They knew we needed an OT Renegade. But I think anyone who was, you know, they were wondering during the Bengal game, during the Raiders game, if Renegade was time to put the pass. But, you know, hey, sticks forever.
Yeah, there you go. Sticks forever. Now, Dave, do we know how many sacks TJ has now?
According to Pro Football Reference, he had 5 coming into the game. And okay, according to the Steelers official media guide, he had 2 today. So I see, that's what I wasn't sure of. I never went back to see if the strip of Geno Smith, if he had crossed the line of scrimmage or not, if that would go down as a second sack. So it was behind the line of scrimmage. Because, you know, at the time, I'm just excited. I don't care. Oh, you know, the Steelers have the ball. I didn't care if it was going to go down as a sack. But he is officially had, I assume this is official, 2 sacks on the game. So that would put him at 7 for the season.
7, and really, he missed a game and a half that groin injury, too. So that's pretty impressive. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's quite the NFL lead, but I think it puts him number 2. So Eric Askew puts $5 in the tip jar here and throws this question to Kyle. What Yin's talking about question. Yes, what's Ben's zip percentage this week? I know you guys are focusing a lot on that during last week's cast. Can you tell the people what the zip is, or did they have to look at that show?
You can always listen every Friday to what Ian's talking about. But I think, you know, we had some legitimate conversation about, does Ben still have the zip that it takes to make some of those throws? And last week, I thought there were a couple of, you know, near picks where, you know, it was a question of, you know, he just barely got it in there. Then I think we saw the TD pass to Claypool. And I think the consensus we had was that Ben still has the arm. You know, tonight, we didn't get to see a ton of passes beyond 10 yards. Big surprise. But so I don't know if, he had some touch, I think, tonight. I don't know if there was a lot of zip on display, though.
Yeah, there were times Ben was dealing. Now, I'll throw this up from Joel Campbell. Puts $2 in the tip jar. In reference to TJ Watt, I believe, saying superstars doing superstar things. With that, Dave, not talking about superstars necessarily, but a superstar 7th-round pick for the Steelers. Trey Norwood had one heck of a game, especially on 3rd down. He was flying around the field. Dave, I'm curious what your thoughts are on the Steelers' 7th-rounder and what he's been able to do in such an early amount of times as being a 7th-round draft pick.
Yeah, he made big plays in the moments when they needed him. I'm thinking of 3 more than any others.
I think there's 3, yeah.
And it was, I'm pretty sure it was 2 in the first half and 1 in the second. If I have that, if I remember correctly at this time of night. But yeah, he really did a nice job. You know, he had the 3 tackles, 1 for loss and a pass defensed. That was, and you're like, oh, well, it's not like he had numbers that blew off the page, but he made, I mean, that stop of DK Metcalf, was that the opening drive or the second drive, whichever one that was? I mean, that was huge to force a punt right in that moment. So when you see his number on the field, it's for good things happening. And that's what you want to see with somebody in the secondary. You're not seeing his number. You're seeing his number a lot of times without the nameplate, if you know what I mean, because he's not running behind someone where you see his back trying to catch up. And just made some really nice plays tonight.
I mean, yeah, was he the best tackler tonight? You know, maybe, I don't know.
Well,
him or Cam Hayward, probably.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, he had some – that's a good point. But because we wouldn't have thought of that at the time because they weren't struggling with their tackling on the first couple that he made. It wasn't until the second half that really reared its ugly head.
Yeah, no, it certainly did. Kyle, sticking with the defensive backs here, Minkah Fitzpatrick, teams are specifically quarterbacks are looking where he is on the field and deciding we're not throwing the ball in that direction at all this year. But he's kind of been a heat-seeking missile, it seems like, getting into offensive players' legs and their midsection, laying the boom a little bit. What do you think of Minkah in this kind of role, which where teams are just completely avoiding him with the football, but he's still making some decent plays?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if some of that is because we don't really have a nickel, a pure nickel, that so he has to come up in some of that run defense. But it seems like he's been thriving in run D. You know, that's where we're seeing him at least, and we're not seeing him so much on the back end. And is that because he's being asked to do different things? That's something I'm not exactly sure of, but it seems like he's been thriving more in the run game than necessarily in the past.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm seeing too. Now, Dave, when it comes to the rest of the guys of the secondary, Terrell Edmonds had a couple plays, but he also got a couple times. Arthur Mollette made a couple decent plays in the backfield. Hayden and Sutton weren't tested too much, but just what do you think about the other guys outside of Mink and Norwood along this defensive backfield?
Let's just say this. It wasn't like it was a huge passing effort for the Seahawks, if you know what I mean. I mean, Geno Smith, I'm trying to bring it up for the game. I was looking at things individually. I mean, did it feel like he threw the ball 32 times?
No.
I mean, it didn't feel like he threw the ball 32 times, but Geno Smith threw the ball. He was 23 of 32 for 209 yards. What really got Seattle going was that run game. So it's not like the secondary stood out in a huge way, good or bad. I mean, because especially we're thinking of, you know, what's fresh in our mind, overtime, the second half. I mean, that first half, the Steelers defense was just dominant. I mean, that's just what they did. So the secondary, they were more of a didn't make news for the wrong reasons, but also didn't necessarily stand out for the right ones either, just because of the way the game was playing out.
Yeah, right. We didn't see Cam Sutton at all. Like, you know, he was pretty quiet. Joe Hayden, I really only noticed when he was missing tackles, unfortunately. I saw Pierre just a little bit at the end. You know, I think Justin Lane might have had more on the stat line than Pierre. I don't know.
Hey, Pierre made a great play on that that final regulation snap, punching the ball out from DK.
He got a forced fumble.
Back-to-back plays, I think it was, with the ball going on the turf and Seattle recovering on that final drive. So the Steelers had tons of opportunities to end this game. The second half of the show, I think we'll focus a little bit more on the offensive side, but the front seven of the defense needs a little bit of coverage here too. Kyle, I'll ask you this first. What do you think on Devin Bush? Because I know a lot of Steelers Twitter, and I'm sure you're going to get into it a ton on your social media theme show. They're kind of jumping down the throat of Devin Bush as someone kind of avoiding contact. The team's kind of trying to take advantage of him. He's not that playmaker you expect from a top 10 pick. So what do you think of Devin Bush in general? And is the social media, are they right? Are they saying the right things about him, or are they completely off kilter?
Well, you know, on social media, everyone is a hater. You know, it's like there's no in between. There's no nuance. There's no, you know, context. But he's certainly not Vince Williams in the run game. He's certainly not hitting the holes like we've seen from inside linebackers. Of course, he's side to side. No one's quicker. But it seems like his gap work isn't ideal, as we saw in the third quarter as they ran all over. I don't know if he's getting blocked out of plays, over pursuing, or just not attacking his assignments. But he's not. Before he came up with that play in overtime, I would have said it was a bust game for him.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't the best that we've seen of him. I think he's still nursing some injuries and definitely trying to get back from that ACL and groin injury that he suffered this year. But Dave, I'm curious your thoughts on him and also Joe Schobert, the starting pairing.
Well, let's just say this. Devin Bush did not look like he did last week before he went out with injury, because that was by far his best game of the season. And part of it, you know, it might have also been what the Steelers were trying to do. But notice on third down, they were taking both of those guys off the field. They were running that special package out there with the three outside linebackers, and their only inside linebacker was Spillane. So there was a lot of interesting stuff they're still trying to figure out. I know some people are really down on Schobert. I know a lot of people were frustrated with Bush tonight. I'm really, honestly, I focus so much on the D-line and the outside linebackers on defense with everything. I have to go back and watch again when I to look at those second level guys. So let's just say this. They didn't stand out in a good way. And there were times I was like, come on, guys, make a tackle.
Yeah, totally fair. Now, Kyle, one of the things that was also pretty noticeable, even if you weren't watching that position group specifically, Robert Spillane played a ton. Are you cool with seeing Spillane, especially seemingly on those third down types situations? Do you like him on the field in those spots?
At first glance, that's kind of like a high anxiety thing because I'm like, okay, well, I know Spillane can hit the gap and stop the run, but he's always kind of been maybe a little bit more liability in coverage. But I think what we're seeing is that he's holding his own out there. I don't see him getting, I don't see him getting, at least tonight, like you said, this wasn't Aaron Rodgers out there. This wasn't even Derek Carr. So I think he held his own tonight. It seems like that is the plan and the strategy. They like him in that role there. So it doesn't necessarily fit what makes sense to me, but they're sticking with it.
I was going to say, if I could jump in one more thing, just to throw out some of the stats, is that, Devin Bush had six tackles. Joe Schobert was credited for two, and as was Spillane. But other than the Bush fumble recovery, which I was scared to death that he was pulling, the peewee football play and he was going to start running the wrong direction until I'm like, turn around. And, which he did. Crazy flashbacks with that one. But none of the three inside linebackers had any other, defensive stats than just the tackles and the one fumble recovery. No tackles for loss, no passes defense, no quarterback hits, things of that, no forced fumbles, things like that. That's the biggest thing that you weren't getting from that position group.
And they didn't seem to blitz them a lot tonight. I mean, I'd have to go back and look secondhand, but I don't feel like there was a lot of blitz from the inside linebackers.
To be fair, Devin Bush and I'd say Joe Schobert aren't exactly blitzing linebackers. I think that's possibly why you see Spillane more on the field than third down, because he's more of that lay in the wood kind of guy and just trying to get in that mix. I think that's probably the possibility. And another reason why you see that extra edge rusher on the field when Ingram checks in, just to get more of a blitzing type body, someone that does a little bit better. So I think that's probably why we don't exactly see them blitzing too much. But another big name that I think we need to talk about, and I'll ask Dave this one first, Cam Hayward. He had himself another very good game. He has been playing out of his mind this year. He looks like he's dialed the clocks back. It seems like he hasn't aged at all. He had a sack. I think he had like six solo tackles or something. It was pretty ridiculous game.
If you want the numbers, he had six solo tackles, nine tackles total, a sack for an 8-yard loss, two tackles for loss, one quarterback. Well, that was the sack, the quarterback hit, I guess. He's not the highest ranked defensive player through 5 weeks, according to Pro Football Focus, for nothing. Cam Hayward is the man. He is. Yeah. It's just he's driving what teams have to do. You can't just worry about TJ Watt. It's Watt Hayward. You can't even look at one even more than the other. And of course, everyone wants to say, oh, well, you gotta chip TJ Watt or he's gonna get that sack, like the announcers were saying tonight. But my thing is like, every play that Cam Hayward's out there, you've got to send. If you only leave him with one guy blocking him, you're going to lose.
Yeah. I think Chris Collinsworth said it at least twice, how Cam was basically holding one arm on the blocker and then making the tackle with the other. So he's out there playing one-handed, really,
Yeah. Hayward is freaky strong. Now, one of the things I want to ask you, Dave, on this, I know Collinsworth called him a surefire Hall of Famer. That might be a little coming on strong right now. Maybe if you can do this for a couple more years, I wouldn't be surprised. He certainly has a lot of those things that you look for in a guy like that. But is he playing the best year of his career right now?
It feels that way. I mean, I don't know if I could throw that out there, back that up statistically or anything else. But it sure feels that way. I mean, it's just teams, when they go to prepare for the Steelers, they see so much more than just what a casual NFL fan would see from Cam Hayward. you know, just looking at, oh yeah, that's that guy there that they have to have four helmets from the other team all surrounding him to make sure he doesn't do anything. Throughout the league, Cam Hayward is getting even more respect now. And yeah, that's why I said I wanted to call him Glenn McKenna, you know, because, you know, the 30-year Glenn McKenna is good, but the 35-year Glenn McKenna is even better. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Cam Hayward. He is just, Brian Anthony Davis was saying this as well, that he just is, you know, getting better with age. It seems like it's just unreal. I can't believe it.
I think before the season, he was talking about how he was going to try to take some snaps off this season. And I think, if anything, he's doing the opposite.
No, I was just going to ask Dave.
It's a How I Met Your Mother reference.
Oh, goodness gracious. I think that's from the second last season during the wedding stuff.
Yeah, you are right. Strong.
Yeah, there we go. Now, before we get to our little break here, and I should throw this up, Master Pete puts $1.99 in the tip jar. Doesn't leave a comment, so if you do, we'll try to get to your comment read there, Master P. But Kyle, Stephon Tuitt hasn't come back yet, but he's been practicing. I'm very excited.
Working out. He's not allowed to practice.
Excuse me. Yeah. No, that's a much better terminology here, Kyle. When he is available, playing next to Cam Hayward, like how he has been, what is the limit for this front seven?
I mean, who are you going to block? That's the question. You're going to have to pick who are you going to, you know, are you going to block TJ? Are you going to block Cam? And, you know, now Highsmith is turning on. It seems like, it's a championship caliber defense when it's all together. Now, the question is it ever going to be all together? I don't think that there's been any kind of clue that Tuitt is anywhere closer to the field, you know, than Tyson, you know, as far as we know. I don't know. It just seems like they're being very intentionally confusing, maybe, or elusive about his status.
So thankfully we are heading into the bye week, so perhaps a little bit more extra time for Stephon to perhaps see the field. I know Coach Tomlin did specifically mention injured players. There's for Master B. Tuitt coming back will be a huge help. No, I couldn't agree more on that. If he does come back, sorry, go ahead, Dave.
I was going to say because I wanted to say something about the whole Stephon Tuitt thing. The only thing, and I don't want to be like, oh, going to rain on everyone's parade, going to complain about a great player coming back, and I'm not. So don't take it that way. But when Stephon Tuitt comes back, they might ask Cam Hayward to do different things. So you might not be seeing the same, you know, numbers or things like that from Cam Hayward. It doesn't mean that he's any less of a player. He just might not be asked to do the same thing. But if they can bring Stephon Tuitt back and have Cam Hayward still doing the stuff he does, would be great. But I don't really care as long as and that's the thing with Cam. That's what makes him such a good defensive captain, is that he doesn't have to have the sack numbers. He doesn't have to have great numbers. He just has to do he'll do whatever he has to do to have that defense putting the Steelers in position to win games.
And that's what he's done for a number of years. Last year, he didn't have the crazy stats. He didn't have those double-digit sacks that he has in years prior. He does what is asked of him, but we are 30 minutes through our show here, so we're going to flip over to the second half and focus a little bit more on the offense, because obviously there's a lot going on that side of the football too. So if you're watching on YouTube and Facebook, just hang tight. If you're listening on a podcast platform, whatever that one may be, click over to part two right now.